This is the Birth Justice Podcast. Today we're joined by Tisha Graham and Esther Patterson from BirthNet. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Catherine.
Thank you very much, Catherine.
Yes, thank you so much for coming on today. So what is BirthNet for those who don't know, and how did it get started?
Actually, the history of BirthNet is a fairly long one in the Capital Region. We are an organization, a 501c3 nonprofit organization out of Albany, New York. And we actually started back in 2001. So we are almost 20 years old. And the original focus and mission of BirthNet was to educate the public about maternity care in order to improve it. Because what we found as a group of midwives and doulas and people who were interested in just birth work in general and in maternity care issues in general, what we found was that the United States was really not as high up in the list as you might imagine of developed countries who had really good birth outcomes, maternal mortality and morbidity. Infant mortality and morbidity are the ways that we measure birth outcomes in the world. And the United States was really pretty far down on the list, like in the 20-something, below 25 on the list of developed countries. When it came to sort of birth outcomes, babies and women dying or being injured. And what we sort of decided to do as an organization was to educate folks in the Capital Region about ways of improving birth outcomes, as well as improving breastfeeding rates, as well as improving satisfaction around birth experience. And we did that by, doing birth fairs and panel discussions and film events. In fact, we've done many events at the Sanctuary for Independent Media. We love it over there in Troy. We talked about access to professional labor support, access to doulas, access to midwives, access to home birth, things that a lot of folks just didn't know a lot about. We do classes at the local universities and colleges, SUNY Albany in particular. 3 years ago, it became very clear to us that some of the national statistics with regard to maternal and infant mortality, particularly when it comes to birthing people in Black and brown communities, that the rates for maternal mortality, morbidity, and infant mortality and morbidity were 3 to 6 times greater than that and those of their white or Caucasian counterparts. And so the focus of the organization back in 2017 took a very specific turn, and we made a very conscious and intentional decision to focus all of our energy and our efforts and our work into this issue, this area of birth justice, looking for ways that we can understand the gaps and looking for ways to narrow the gap between Black and brown communities and white communities with regard to maternal and infant outcomes. So that's essentially where we are today. Our vision is to just, imagine a community where all childbearing people have access to culturally appropriate, high quality care, which results in healthy pregnancies, healthy babies, and healthy families. We are a birth justice organization who participates in the elimination of inequities in birth outcomes for all childbearing people. And we work to ensure that all birthing families have respectful and supportive maternity and infant care. How's that for a quick history? 20 minutes in about 4 minutes.
Yeah, sounds really good. Sounds like you guys are doing a lot of important work in the local area. Could you maybe tell me about some of the disparities in the Capital Region that you've...
We have noticed, and the Department of Health has given us some statistics that say in the Capital District, specifically in the zip code areas where people of color are primarily located, the infant and maternal mortality rates were much higher than anyone would have expected.
As I said, what we know that the national trend is that Black and brown birthing people have a 3 to 4 times greater risk of maternal mortality than do white women. And this is regardless of their socioeconomic or their educational background. Black and brown babies have a 5 to 6 times greater risk of infant mortality. Sure. And what we realized is that, you know, these are families, you know, as Esther said, there's like, you know, 3 zip codes in the Albany area, 3 to 5 zip codes in the Albany area, which have the highest rates of these inequities, this disparity. And yet these are families that are using the exact same clinics in some cases, certainly the exact same hospitals as their white counterparts. So they're using the same hospitals, the same practices. You know, in other parts of New York State, disparate pay schedules or disparate pay scales for insurance companies that reimburse providers and places for birth. You have another phenomena which we refer to as sort of insurance segregation, where if you have a certain kind of insurance, you can only go to a certain place for care or to a certain place for birth. And that may be true to a certain degree with regard to prenatal care here in the Capital Region. But when it comes to birth, there aren't separate hospitals where Black and brown birthing people are going compared to white people. And the disparities are still that dramatic in the same hospitals with the same providers. Because even if you're using sort of a clinic, let's say you're using the St. Peter's Clinic, for example, on South Pearl Street. Once you are in labor, move into the hospital setting, obviously for your care through labor and birth, you're seeing the same. You're seeing the St. Peter's docs, the same doctors, practices. And so, even in the same practices, in the same hospitals,
there is disparate care.
Yeah, there's
and this disparate outcomes. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so we come to a rather chilling and, you know, sort of not surprising conclusion that the disparities are not based on separate hospitals or separate clinics for prenatal care, but rather the disparities are based on institutional racism. That is our conclusion. It's the conclusion not only of those of us who do this work in the Capital Region, but it's also the conclusion of folks and organizations who are involved in this issue on a national level. It is not, there's not anything else at play here in the Capital Region except for what we can describe as the ingrained institutional racism of people of color, Black and brown birthing people, being viewed differently, being treated differently, and being, in some cases, being given substandard care. And that impacts their outcomes. I mean, health disparities are power disparities. Health inequities are power inequities. And these inequities, of course, express themselves in maternity care. And that's what we're seeing here in beautiful downtown Albany, New York, the capital of New York State. We are seeing those disparities in a very, very dramatic way. And again, this is regardless of socioeconomic background and educational achievement. So that, and the way you can look at that is that a young teen mom, let's say a young white teen mom who lives in a economic marginalized community, let's say a trailer estate, a trailer park, is likely to have a better outcome during her maternity care, labor, birth, and postpartum for her and her baby than is the African American lawyer who works at the state capitol in the governor's office. So it's really a dramatic reality, and it's one that we decided as an organization we cannot and will not tolerate. So we're doing a couple of things to try to address that inequity, and that's what we're all about.
what are some ways that people could contact you or get involved with BirthNet?
BirthNewYork.org will bring you right to our website, and will bring you into various, you know, onto various pages and things that will, I think, go a long way to let folks know who we are and what we're doing and how folks can sort of support us and get involved in our work.
All of the work that the women of BirthNet do is volunteer work. None of us get paid to do this work. And, you know, so the work is for all of us a labor of love. It's not something we do because, it's prestigious. It's something we do because we believe in the cause, we believe in the mission, and we know with everything in us that the health disparities that exist for Black and Brown women should not.
We are working to confront, you know, sort of the delegitimization, the dismissal, the denial, and the degradation of Black and Brown women seeking maternity care so that their outcomes can be positive, their birth experiences can be healthy, and that they receive the culturally appropriate and medically and midwifery, safe and appropriate care that every birthing person deserves. And the color of your skin should not determine your outcome, particularly when that outcome is far greater to be one where there's been damage and death. We'd love for folks to consider joining any one of our, we have sort of advisory committees, we have a board structure, we have ways for people to maybe lend their expertise, and we're happy to accept help of any or many varieties in the area, and we so appreciate this opportunity to talk to your listeners about birth justice, about BirthNet, and about the important work that we're doing. I really appreciate this time that you've given us, Catherine.
You can listen to part two of my conversation with BirthNet on Hudson Mohawk Magazine next Wednesday, November 25th, or online at mediasanctuary.org.